The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink it and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love the air.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. We made it to the weekend. It's Friday, February 7th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We are coming to you live from my hotel room in San Bernardino, California, for the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. It's taking place this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. We've got that in the news as well. USA Today is reporting on the Cannabis Cup. That's how much things have changed since we begun this show here. You remember the first few cups we went to, nobody would comment on it. Now it's all the rage. We'll tell you about that in our 420 Radio News. It's coming up right after this first break. Also on the show today, we are going to go behind the headlines and take a look at a very, very interesting situation that's going on here with respect to marijuana and legalization in this country. And as soon as that pops up in my slow internet browser, I'll tell you exactly what it is. I've got so much going on here, it's hard to keep track of it all. We do have time for a radical rant at the end of the show today. My buddy Jacob Sullum out there at Reason Magazine has written an excellent analysis of what's going on with respect to rescheduling and possibly descheduling marijuana. What would the effect be if we moved marijuana out of Schedule 1 and into one of the lower schedules or took it off the schedule? Jacob interviewed a lot of experts across the country in drug policy reform, and he's got the information. I'm going to bring it to you in the radical rant today. Okay, got the internet to pop up here for our behind the headlines today. Another great story, again, from Jacob today, a Texas grand jury that is not pressing charges against a pot grower who shot a cop and killed him. This is Texas, people, so we'll tell you all about that coming up here in the Behind the Headlines segment. And I apologize for the bad connection. You know, I mentioned that we are on a really sketchy Wi-Fi out here in San Bernardino, so if I'm going a little max headroom on you, I apologize for that right up front. Also, we've got some Rockin' Friday Daily Toker tunes for you loaded up. I forget which tune that we loaded up, but it's sitting there in the Liebermeter. Brian the Red is back in Portland taking care of things there at the engineer studio, so he'll man the songs there. We'll also take things into Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, and we'll discuss more of what's going on here at the High Times Cup. We'll also have more news and information and discussion here on 420 Radio. All right, we got to take a break. Be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. Four20 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Friday, February 7th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Joe Biden, the vice president, is not high on marijuana legalization, from Time magazine. The Obama administration is not pushing marijuana legalization on the federal level, Vice President Joe Biden said Thursday in an exclusive interview with Time. Just weeks after President Barack Obama told The New Yorker that the drug is no more dangerous than alcohol, Biden said the administration supports smarter enforcement, but not outright legalization. Quote, I think the idea of focusing significant resources on interdicting or convicting people for smoking marijuana is a waste of our resources, end quote, Biden told Time. Quote, that's different than legalization. Our policy for our administration is still not legalization, and that is and continues to be our policy, end quote. In the Senate, Biden was on the forefront of the Democratic Party's war on crime, authoring or co-sponsoring legislation that created the federal drug czar and mandatory minimum sentencing for marijuana and the sentencing disparity for crack and powder cocaine. Michigan Supreme Court rules local laws can't bar medical marijuana, from the Detroit Free Press. The Michigan Supreme Court ruled Thursday that local officials in Michigan may not ban the use of medical marijuana within their boundaries, a unanimous landmark ruling expected to overturn local ordinances in Livonia, Birmingham, Bloomfield Hills, and Lyon Township. The outcome was hailed by marijuana activists because if it had gone the other way, there was a chance that the decision would have barred all Michiganders from using marijuana for health purposes. And numerous communities were said to be watching the outcome before considering passage of their own local ordinances. Detroiter Tim Beck, age 61, who for years has pushed to relax marijuana laws and has helped organize local ballot proposals in Detroit and Ferndale, said, quote, this is fabulous news, but it's actually no surprise, end quote. Livonia Mayor Jack Kirksey said he was disappointed by the ruling, quote, as a parent, as a grandparent, and now a great-grandparent, in terms of how marijuana can affect young people, I think this is a regrettable step backward, end quote, Kirksey said Thursday night. Marijuana legalization plan stalls in New Mexico, from ABC News. A proposal to allow New Mexico voters to decide whether to legalize recreational marijuana stalled Friday, putting the measure in doubt for now. At a disjointed meeting, the Senate Rules Committee failed to debate the proposed constitutional amendment that would allow for the possession and personal use of marijuana for those 21 years of age and older. Instead, committee members got bogged down in debates over a minimum wage proposal and a measure to change election laws. The failure to bring up the marijuana proposal angered a handful of activists, some from out of state, who sat through the meeting for a chance to speak up in support of legalizing marijuana in New Mexico. The proposal sponsor, Senator Gerald Ortiz y Pino, said he hopes the committee debates the measure next week. If not, he wasn't sure there would be enough time before the legislative session ends February 20th. If lawmakers approve the proposed constitutional amendment, the question would be decided by voters in the general election. However, the plan is likely to face difficulty in the legislature, and Republican Governor Susana Martinez opposes marijuana legalization. Longmont marijuana patients won't lose housing benefits, from the Colorado Springs Gazette. Medical marijuana patients in Longmont, Colorado won't lose their housing if they use the drug to treat pain and other issues, reassuring a resident who uses medical marijuana to treat pain and spasticity she suffers as a quadriplegic. Housing Director Michael Rice says officials will now look at individual cases regarding both medical and recreational marijuana before deciding whether to evict people. Low-income housing authority clients pay 30% of their adjusted income, and the housing authority pays the rest with federal funds. Medical marijuana patients in Longmont, previously the agency had a zero-tolerance policy. We tried to find a middle ground. We're treating it like alcohol, Rice said. The new policy focuses on whether a client's marijuana use is abusive or may interfere with the health, safety, or right to peaceful enjoyment by the other residents. A smoke and pot industry awards its own Oscars, from USA Today. The Los Angeles Cannabis Cup, an annual event sponsored by High Times, the magazine of stoner culture and business, is expected to see record attendance of more than 2,000 people this Saturday and Sunday. That's twice any previous turnout, managing editor and event coordinator Jen Bernstein says. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, February 7th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. 420 Radio News is brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition. You can find our transcripts on their website at ncc420.com. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines to take a look at a story from Texas where a grand jury will not indict a pot grower who shot and killed a sheriff. Listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
Toker Talk Radio, starring Russ Belville from Portland, Oregon, Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And in today's story, we get another piece, a fabulous piece written by Jacob Sullum out there at Forbes magazine. And it's the story of a Texas grand jury that declines to indict a pot grower who shot and killed a cop during an early morning raid. That's right, folks. Texas. Let me just read a couple paragraphs from this. This week, a Texas grand jury declined to indict a marijuana grower for shooting and killing a sheriff's deputy who burst into his home in the early morning to execute a search warrant. Henry Goodrich McGee, who was indicted on drug and weapons charges, and of course the weapons charges is because he was growing pot, said he believed Burleson County Sergeant Adam Souders was a burglar. McGee's lawyer, Dick DeGaron, told AP, quote, "This was a terrible tragedy that a deputy sheriff was killed, but Hank McGee believed that he and his pregnant girlfriend were being robbed. He did what a lot of people would have done. He defended himself and his girlfriend and his home," end quote. DeGaron, a well-known defense attorney who has been practicing for half a century, said, quote, "He could not immediately remember another example of a Texas grand jury declining to indict a defendant in the death of a law enforcement officer," end quote. That sort of outcome is rare, not just in Texas, but throughout the country, since people who shoot cops invading their homes usually do not get the same benefit of the doubt as cops do when the roles are reversed. This is an amazing story that just shows you how much the tide is turning. How many stories have we covered here in the 4 or 5 years that I've been doing this, where there's a no-knock raid in the middle of the night, cops burst in with flashbang grenades, and they shoot the dog or they shoot at the people in the house, and people return fire, and they end up dead. And Catherine Johnston comes to mind, defending herself, 92-year-old woman in Atlanta, thinks the cops are coming in, has a little pistol. She ends up getting shot dead. How about Corey May? Corey May, a 21-year-old man with a young daughter who lived in this kind of duplex setup thing, you know, and the guy in the other duplex was apparently involved in drug trade somehow. But Corey May, while he was a pot smoker, I think he was a pot smoker. Don't quote me on this. I might be wrong on my recollection, but I think he was. They found like a roach or something. But again, correct me if I'm wrong. But Corey May, he's in the other half of the duplex. The cops come to serve a search warrant. They get the wrong door on the duplex. They get his door, bang down the door. He's like military training. He's former military. He grabs his daughter and jumps behind the bed and pulls his weapons. And when the cops come through his bedroom, he fires and kills one of them. Corey May has been in prison since. So this happens all the time throughout America where people end up getting serious time for defending their homes. This decision of the Texas grand jury to not indict, and to not indict someone who's a pot grower, you know, not like they got medical marijuana in Texas. It's quite illegal. But they decide here in Texas that, well, I don't know what their thinking is, but the effect of it is that a man's home is his castle, and that somebody defending himself in his home can't always know that the people coming in are cops or not. See, this is something that's always bothered me about this no-knock raids and bursting in like this, is we have a society, and again, I'm not going to get into the gun debate. I'm just going to say it's kind of at the point in our society that we accept that we have guns and people can own them and have them in their homes to defend themselves. But how are you supposed to be able to exercise that right when cops are given the routine ability to just break down doors? It's not as if the criminals wouldn't think to use that tactic, right? If you were going to strong arm, if you were going to do a home invasion robbery, pound on the door and say you're the cops. Make sure that person behind the door thinks twice about whether they're going to shoot the person coming in. This can only lead to more problems. And to see this Texas grand jury not indict this guy, I think we may be getting to a point where that's the way I think the Texans were looking at it. Not an issue of whether or not the guy was growing pot, but the issue of whether or not we ought to have cops bursting in over those kind of things. Breaking down the door should be for imminent danger, for imminent harm, and growing pot does not provide that standard for breaking down the doors. Let's get our cops back to being peace officers, keeping the peace in this country. rather than breaking down our doors over pot. It's ridiculous. All right. And that time means it's 20 after the hour here. Well, it's 20 after the hour almost everywhere, except for, like, Nepal and the Eastern Maritimes. There's a few time zones that don't fit on the hour.
Have
so.
You ever met that funny reefer man?
That doesn't matter to us. They can smoke with us anyway. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we've got your daily token tunes. Rock Friday
music. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical RUSS on the Russ Belville Show.
NORMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Oh yeah, I'm so ready to rock today. You know, I just left Portland, Oregon, where it was 3 inches of snow and 20-degree weather, and here I am in San Bernardino, where it's like 65. It ain't so bad. But back up in Portland, we got our friend Herb Thrasher bringing us the rock. He's going to keep things warm for us. How you doing, Herb? Oh, we don't have Herb. Never mind. He's not online. Okay. See, things are tough here when we're doing this remote. But we got Brian the Red there in the studio, so he's queued up some music for us. This is a song that we played a while back, but I'm just going to bring it back up because here I am in San Bernardino, and, you know, the big thing that goes on out here is the oils, the wax, the shatter, the butter. Is there a new name for it? Earwax? They've probably made up six names since I've last checked, but... because of that, we're going to bring you a little BHO music. You know, we got stoner rock. There's already stoner rock, but now we're starting to get dabber rock. And I don't know exactly what the difference is, but maybe you can listen to it and find out for me. So here it is, some music from BHO themselves, Black Hell Oil with Smoke You Up.
Oh,
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
The Hollywood Hemptress Hour with Terry Joyce from Portland, Oregon, every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, and 9 p.m. GMT on 420radio.org.
Let's get the session started because it's 420.
Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the fight for cannabis freedom. Each month, we take a look at the latest interviews, news, grow tips, equipment, music, and events featured in this month's issue with our High Times Preview.
All right, welcome back. Time for us to a little High Times videos that we've recorded. Event with an interview with Jones.
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Radical Russ here with 420 Radio. We got a special guest joining us here, and you're welcome to identify yourself any way you like. Welcome to the show. Could you introduce yourself?
Thank you. My name's Jacob Jones. I'm a co-founder of CannaSense and the Cannabus, and I'm a valedictorian from Oak Street Dam University.
Excellent. So the Cannabus, let's start with that one.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
We picked up the Cannabus in North Carolina in October, and we toured 15 states before bringing it to Arizona.
Yeah?
Yeah. Then for the Emerald Cup, we took the Cannabus up to Northern California, to Humboldt County, where we kind of got some resentment there, but that's another story.
Now, the Cannabus is just a bus with...
Oh, yeah, it's an 88-year school bus, and it's been decked out for marijuana legalization.
Okay.
Yes.
So you travel from event to event, kind of rally people?
Yes, we let local cannabis organizations from state to state just use the bus for a day and just help with their efforts.
All right. And what was the other group you're with?
Oh, CannaSense.
That's right, CannaSense.
Yes. It's a foundation me and my cousin started. We're both drug war victims. My father was murdered in front of me 20 years ago in Kentucky for growing 25 plants. And
this is a case I believe that we've covered before on our show, where it was a kind of a raid upon his property, and he just stood his ground and said, you know, no. Can you explain a little?
No, that's exactly right. That Sunday morning in 1993, helicopters came to our property and they demanded my father cut down his medical crop, and he refused. He said, I'm over my dead body. And then that started a peaceful 8-hour standoff in their mind. Yeah.
I think I even saw this on the news in the 90s when, you know, coming up. And you were what age?
I was 4 years old.
And so as a 4-year-old, you're old enough to know something really bad's happening, obviously.
Well, in the beginning, I actually didn't really comprehend what was going on. My strongest memory of that day is actually when I did realize that law enforcement was there to cause harm to my family.
Yeah.
To where at that point, there was like 30 law enforcement present outside of our property. And I ran inside our trailer, and like there were multiple helicopters flying above us at this point too. And I ran inside our trailer to like my toy box, grabbed a little toy sword, ran back outside and just wove it through our chain link gate. And in my mind, again, 4 years old, I thought that just saved the day. In my mind, that gave me peace of mind.
Yeah.
And moments later, they asked my father to approach them for the first time in 8 hours, and he did so armed. He armed himself. He was a Vietnam veteran, and he approached the chain link fence, and they asked him to put his hands in the air, and he did with the weapon. And he continued to walk toward them, where they asked him to disarm himself, and then again he refused for his property and his rights. And he was just approaching them for negotiation, and moments later, they concussion grenade, and they chose to fire military-grade weapons toward me, my mother, and my father. And
you know, I think a remarkable part of this is how you are focused and calm and have directed what I would think would be an unquenchable rage about this, but you seem to have focused it in a very positive way.
Well, that's taken 19 years.
Yeah, I'll bet. That it takes a while.
Yeah. Now my cousin kidnapped me and took me to Oaksterdam 2 years ago to where...
Did you not want to go?
Oh, no, I did, but I was used to Kentucky law to where, you know, they can just shuffle killing my dad and just calling that justice in front of me. And, I mean, that's... Still yet, those officers involved think that was just, and the community neglected us, and that was...
I mean, in a situation like this, when we see these things go down, they get investigated by the police, and they always say, no, they were following procedure, everything was just by the book, and the next thing you know, these guys that were the officers become the sergeants, become the lieutenants,
yes.
Become the captains. Are they still officers in that Kentucky area?
Oh, yes, they are. They still hold power.
Wow.
And they still believe it was just.
Now, are you still living in Kentucky, or are you here on the West Coast now?
Actually, I'm just living on the cannabis now. We're starting a 48-state tour, and I'll be living on the cannabis. I did get reaccepted into the University of Kentucky as a community and leadership development major. And
That seems appropriate.
Oh, yeah. So I'll be going back as a full-time cannabis activist to my college. So.
One of the things that I think our opponents don't understand is the harder they push us, the harder they squash it, the stronger we grow.
Exactly.
And it's through stories like yours where you take an unimaginable thing for a four-year-old to have to go through, and, you know, through the I'm sure years and years of working through that, develop it into a positive and develop it into an activist who will not be stopped. Now, I can sense it in you that this is your life's goal now, and you won't stop with this.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so, folks, again, let's give you, if you got websites or emails, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do it?
Oh, yeah, so CannonSense, CannonSense. .org and cannabus.us. That's our new website.
.us, yeah, cannabus. Yes. CANNABUS.
Yes.
.us. Okay, check those out. Help out as much as you can, because these are the true stories that you know motivate all of us in this movement. And I meet so many people that are activists, and I find that activists come from three different camps. One is they got, pardon my language, fucked by the man. Number two, they got ill. They needed it medically. And then there's a small group that are just ideologically, you know, this is wrong and it shouldn't be happening. It's obvious to see why the first two groups get involved. What would you say to convince some of those people who've never been busted, they're not sick, they're here at the cannabis cup, and they're like, well, gee, I got my rec, I'm almost legal, why should I fight for legalization? Tell them why.
Well, that's an interesting question.
I'm known for that.
Let's see. I mean, the obvious thing at first without my story would just be the wasted resources that we do and just the morality of it and just the fact that it was made illegal to begin with and that was wrong. Just the whole, not conspiracy, but just the truth behind it, that they just didn't like hemp. And, yeah, I would just start with that and then say, still yet, prohibition is everywhere. Every 42 seconds we have an arrest, and stories like mine still are not over. In Michigan, in 2011, a little boy had to watch his father die, three-year-old boy, because law enforcement said he smelled marijuana on the premises. And
just the smell?
Yes, just the smell, and then he got Child Protective Services involved. And the father, of course, resented, and that caused his death as well.
It's senseless. This is why we're here. This is why we're fighting for legalization, because as long as marijuana is illegal, it's contraband. As long as it's contraband, it's excuse for the cops to mess with you, to find some other reason to arrest you. So we've got to make it legal. Decrim's not enough. Medical's not enough. We got to go all the way with this. So what's next? Where do you head next as far as the cannabis goes?
Okay, as far as the cannabis will be getting a makeover in the upcoming months. The name will be changed to the Green Bus Tour for Cannabis Freedom. And,
okay.
Yes, and we will be starting off in Denver on April the 20th and be making our way.
I'll be there.
Yeah, so will we.
Right on.
Then we will be making our way down through Texas and Oklahoma, supporting their state's efforts. They both have state bills. And then we'll be making our way over to Georgia for the May 4th Great Atlantic Smokeout, I believe.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know, I'm really glad that we've got more people fighting in the South.
Oh, yes.
You know, for legalization, because everybody thinks that it can't happen there, but I know a lot of Southerners who are ready for it to happen. I think what the South suffers from more is just, we can't talk about it. That's
exactly,
all.
Exactly, yeah.
Is that what you found?
Oh, yeah, man, I'm from Kentucky, and that's, after coming back from Oaksterdam, I really helped inspire them to get active again, and of course, a lot of people still are hush-hush about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they do risk a lot. In Indiana, just people get fired just for their Facebook involvement.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
That's sad. Well, I want to end this on a positive note, so here it is. Happy 420, everybody! Yeah. It's 420 in Los Angeles, California. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
We appreciate your story, and we will have a clip of this available for you. I'll get you my card and everything, all right? Thanks so much. Celebrate 420, everybody.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
All right, we got another video coming up here for you. Last visit here to San Bernardino for the Cannabis Cup. This is the Cash Hide video that we've got, where we spoke with representatives from the Cash Hide Foundation, still continuing the fight to get research and information to parents on the use of cannabis as medicine for kids with incurable cancers. Check it out.
Network and get our voice out. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Nice to see you still at it.
Yeah,
still
man.
Going
strong. Ain't stopping, bro.
You know, I've been working a lot with Michaela Comstock up in
Portland.
Okay,
yeah.
We've had her on the show a couple of times.
Awesome. She's cute, isn't she?
Oh, man. What a perfect spokesgirl, yeah. Right?
She just, good seeing you guys, man.
Totally, you know, such a, brings a smile to my face every time I see her. So.
Yeah.
So Cash Hide Foundation is still going.
Still going, man.
Kicking ass, and now we've got the Cancer Militia.
Yep, Cancer Militia, since legislatures took away our law, we started the Cancer Militia because we're going to help families fight cancer no matter what.
Yeah. For folks who don't know this, Montana, where they repealed it, and then it was saved on a veto, and then they put in this new restrictive super repeal.
They took away our affirmative defense,
right?
So all the local law enforcement has to do is contact the feds, and then they can come in and they can assist them, and they can raid you. And you have no affirmative defense,
right?
And so you go to prison. And so if you can't use medical marijuana as a defense in a federal court, we made the Cancer Militia. And it is our God-given right as human beings to be able to give ourselves and our children the safest, most therapeutic substance known to man before we give them Tylenol, McDonald's, or any of these toxic concoctions that the FDA says safe and is consistent and proven to kill, be addictive, and be the leading cause of like over 70% of the 1,500 people that die each day from cancer.
I often say, you know, the prohibitionists will say, oh no, if we legalize marijuana, use will go up. And I say, that's a good thing if they're substituting for alcohol, Tylenol,
the next generation's always going to be smarter than the next, and if you can read, and it's a neuroprotectant, and former DEA Judge Francis L. Young said, hey guys, this is after a six-month panel review of all these doctors, this is the most safest, most therapeutic substance known to man, and then the DEA goes in and fires that guy a week later. I mean, the pudding's in the cup.
Yeah. So we got all sorts of stuff here, and this give them the website and stuff so they can find it online.
CashHideFoundation.com, CashHideFoundation.org, Cashy's Cancer Militia. You can Google Cash Hide. It'll all link back to our Facebook page and our website where you can request assistance if you're a family fighting cancer. If you want to sponsor a Reggae Runner to a hospital near you, you can order IV poles and sticker packages. And we just do everything we can to raise pediatric cancer awareness, fight cancer with smiles, and keep Cashy's legacy of one love rolling.
Right on. The Reggae Runners.
Good work. And
talk about the Reggae Runners.
This is making a difference. It is.
Oh, hands down, man. Like, you guys need to come with us to donate some Reggae Runners to the children's hospitals, because that's how we fight cancer with smiles.
Aww.
We deck these out with IV poles, so you can put your chemo bags right on them. You got your one love, your belief. So these little kids that are seeing this are seeing a positive message. And at the same time, they're getting all the information they need about cannabis right through our website and all the links to go along with it.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Right on. All right, CashHideFoundation.com, people. I wasn't in the thing, was I?
No. Oh, yeah. American Drug War II.
Oh, yes.
Coming out in it in April. Special screening in June. It'll be out in some theater near you. You can help sponsor it. If you want it played in your city, you just got to contact me. Let me know, and I'll let the guys know. And we'll bring it right to your town. And it's one of the best documentaries I've seen yet.
Right on. Excellent. Thank you, man. Thanks for your work.
That's our friends from the Cash Hide Foundation at the last High Times Medical Cannabis Cup out here in San Bernardino, California. It's happening this weekend. We'll bring you cut coverage. If we've got good Wi-Fi, we'll bring you video. We'll do the best we can coming to you from the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. We'll be there both days, noon to 6, if you want to tune in. We'll also be recording all sorts of video, interviewing people, and, of course, the awards ceremonies. And those videos we'll show to you on next week's Russ Belville Show and Toker Talk Radio. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant. Going to talk a little bit about...
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history. Profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups.
They say people addicted to heroin have a monkey on their back. Isn't that cute?
If we're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana and the next thing you know they got 10 years, they've got mandatory sentences, and these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, it's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club...
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the president, the Congress...
Congress and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, I've had a lot of fun on the interwebs as of late, watching a few of my favorite people in drug policy reform go at it in a little bit of a Twitter war. Let me fill you in. You know Mark Kleiman? If you remember our coverage of Washington State, the pot czar of Washington State. Remember Mark Kleiman? Now the name sounds familiar. Yeah. When Washington State passed its I-502, after it passed, the state hired Kleiman's firm, which is called BOTEC, B-O-T-C, to provide consultation on how to implement regulations and such. So they called on Mark Kleiman's firm. Now, Mark Kleiman is a public policy professor at the UCLA School of Public Policy, I believe, and he has been writing and researching drug policy for years and years and years. And I've actually, he's been a guest on our show. We've interviewed him on the show before as well. And he often says some things that are a little bit controversial to in policy. Well, it came down to a Twitter duel between Jacob Sullum from Reason Magazine and I'm losing my train of thought here. And Mark Kleiman, excuse me. So basically what went down is a discussion as to whether or not rescheduling marijuana would make any difference. And this is based on President Obama's comments that marijuana is no more harmful than alcohol. And, well, gosh, if it's no more harmful than alcohol, what's it doing in Schedule 1, right? That's the crux of the argument. So Kleiman came back on Twitter and actually wrote a blog post on it in his blog about how rescheduling marijuana would make practically no difference at all. And identically zero difference, in fact, was the quote. Well, this has led to a couple of columns back and forth, and some other people, Dan Riffle from MPP, Tom Angel from MPP, chimed in, you know, with a question as well, you know, tagging Mark Kleiman on this, and he's trying to stick by his position, but kind of beginning to fail, because Jacob wrote this excellent piece today. It's called More Than Zero, Reclassifying Marijuana Could Have a Significant Impact on Drug Policy. And so here's some of the points. First of all, Kleiman points out, and this is true, that even if we take marijuana out of Schedule 1, oh, by the way, before we get on this, just to make sure everybody's on the same page here, drugs are scheduled from 1 to 5, right? And 1 is the worst and 5 is the least. And 2 through 5 are legal, can be prescribed by a doctor, but 2 is a really restrictive category. Cocaine and meth are in Schedule 2, for example. Steroids and Marinol are in Schedule 3, by the way. Schedule 1 are the drugs that have no medical use. They're really dangerous. They're really addictive. You can't have them for any reason whatsoever, right? And that's where you got marijuana and LSD and peyote and heroin and PCP, right? So that's not a good place for marijuana to be. It makes no sense. But that's where it's at, Schedule 1. So Kleiman says that if you remove marijuana from Schedule 1, it doesn't automatically make it medically legal, because any cannabis product have to be approved by the FDA. Oh, right. So the president, the attorney general, whoever, could take marijuana. Oh, and that was the original point of the argument, too, was whether or not Obama could take marijuana out of the schedule. Because he said in his interview, no, you know, Congress has to decide what's in Schedule 1. That's not true. In the Controlled Substances Act, it says that the attorney general, who is an employee of the president, the attorney general can remove a drug from the schedule, remove it. That was the original crux of the argument here. The marijuana, that's not going to happen. Marijuana is a plant. And it's not going to work as far as they have to approve drugs. Plus, The whole approval process to get a drug approved by the FDA is mega expensive. Pharmaceutical companies spend millions of dollars to get it through the phase 1, phase 2, phase 3 trials, all these different tests that have to be done and so forth. Now, cannabis, the plant itself, can't be patented. So any pharmaceutical company that kicks in enough money to get it, you know, legal, FDA legal, can't benefit from it. They just have to do it out of the goodness of their heart. Not a lot of that going around in corporate America. So the change that it would make a difference, though, by moving marijuana out of Schedule 1 is it makes it easier to conduct research on it. And that's an important part here, because we've always been in this Schedule 1 catch-22 situation, right? It's Schedule 1 because there's no studies that show that it's medically safe. All right, well, let us do some studies to show it's medically safe. You can't. Why not? Because it's Schedule 1. Well, wait a minute. It's not fair. But that's the way it is. And numerous very well-respected researchers have tried to petition the federal government, let us do the studies and prove it to you. No, you can't. Why? Because it's Schedule 1. Okay. But if we got it out of Schedule 1, that might help some. And Dale Gehringer from California Normal points out that Schedule 1 substances, you know, it's very hard to work with them. Schedule 2 as well, not to the same extent. But once you hit Schedule 3 through 5, these restrictions don't apply. It's really easy to do research on, well, comparatively more research on Schedule 3. Now, the other thing that's there's a couple of things that also make marijuana a little more interesting in this talk. Marijuana is the only Schedule 1 drug for which the federal government has a monopoly on the research supply. If you want to study PCP, you want to study LSD, there's a lot of different private labs where you can go. Now, you have to go through DEA protocols, and you know, if you have, you know, fill out some forms, I'm sure, background checks and all. But you can actually, as a researcher, get a hold of PCP or LSD from numerous sources, but not marijuana. The only source of marijuana in the United States is the University of Mississippi Pot Farm, going down there with Dr. El Soli, and that's it. That's the only place, and they're not giving it out because it's controlled by NIDA, the National Institutes of Drug Abuse, whose job is to show how bad marijuana is. They're not going to just give any researchers some marijuana to show how great it is. That breaks their whole situation. All right, so the other thing that's interesting in this discussion is Mr. Wyatt quoted in it, and he says when you look at Schedule 4 drugs, Schedule 4, you've got the opiate tramadol, the stimulant modafinil, lethal sedatives like phenobarbital and chloral hydrate, and the date rape drug rohypnol. Surely cannabis is safer than these, end quote. Well, yeah, so do we drop it down to Schedule 5? Well, Dr. Lester Grinspoon, another friend of the show, the legendary Harvard researcher who in the 60s first kind of broke open the idea of using marijuana medically, or reintroduced it, if you will. Dr. Lester Grinspoon says, quote, none of the schedules is truly appropriate for marijuana. None. It shouldn't be in the schedules. But if he had to pick, he'd say, based on the realistic appraisal of the drug, I'd put it in Schedule 5. The other thing that would help here is if we got it out of Schedule 1, is that might allow the drug czar's office to actually tell the truth about it. A lot of people don't know about this, but the drug czar, the Office of National Drug Control Policy, and Senator or Representative Cohen brought this up in the testimony the other day, is required by law to oppose the legalization of Schedule 1 drugs. Jesus himself could come to planet Earth and say, hey, marijuana is great, it should be legal, and the drug czar's office would have to say, no, Jesus, you're wrong. Sorry. It has to stay illegal. That's under the law. They have to. But if we get it down to Schedule 2, now ONDCP could actually tell that they might actually be able to answer in Congress whether or not marijuana is safer than meth, whether or not marijuana is safer than heroin. They might be able to acknowledge that. And that also goes for other federal bureaucracies like Health and Human Services. Same thing. They can't use their funds to promote legalization of Schedule 1 substances. And Health and Human Services controls NIDA, National Institutes of Drug Abuse, who controls the University of Mississippi Pot Farm. So, getting marijuana out of Schedule 1 could have a huge impact on our drug policies, at the very least allowing us better chance to study marijuana, unmuzzling our federal bureaucracies to be able to talk about it, be able to research it. Now, it's not as far as I'd like to go. I'd like to see it completely off the schedules, but there's one in that the single convention requires us to be, that cannabis is to be controlled like opium and opiates. So we still have that difficulty. Well, folks, that's about all the time we got here for hour one. Stay tuned for hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We'll be hanging out here in the hotel room. I don't like to see him because we're audio only and they like it that way. Dolphiness says hi. She says hi. All right. Thanks for joining us, and thanks, Brian the Red, out there in the studio for taking care of things. I'm Radical Russ here from San Bernardino. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stick around, and until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.